Martinez and Gary Metzger are traveling in Honduras, so. And so please continue to remember those brethren also in prayer. So let's begin with hymn 133. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Beautiful day that you brought to the earth. Indeed, Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life, for you have been so gracious and merciful unto us. We pray, Father, that as we've come to this place this night, we've come to worship you and to hear your words spoken to us by thy servant. We pray, Father, that we would humble ourselves before you, that we might receive that which you have for us to hear, and that we would take it and place it within our hearts and even our souls, Father, that when we hear this, that we might take it and apply it to our lives, that we might truly be thy people, and that we might rejoice and glorify you, Father, for your continued goodness and mercy unto us. Father, may your Spirit be with us. May you guide us and direct us. May you touch us in the ways, Father, that we have need to receive the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that we might be edified and that you might be glorified. And these things I would pray in the name of your Son, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Take up an offertory now. I know we've already been admonished this week about the importance of our stewardship of giving. And so I'll just keep it short, but I just want to say that for me, giving to the Lord is a way of saying thank you. And I would hope that we can all return thanks as we are able. Dear Heavenly Father, we do wish to remember that you are our provider and you are our Lord. And Lord, it's only fitting that we should be very grateful for for all the things that you've bestowed upon us. The list is endless. But Father, we do pray that your work would go forward and that we might be enabled to do our part in supporting that work. And so to this end, Lord, we do thank you and pray a blessing upon this offering this night. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
By reading a passage from section 1 and section 108. And the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness. But every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, and whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old, and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. Wherefore, I the Lord, knowing the calamity which shall come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith Jr., and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world, and all this, that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophets. The weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that faith also might increase in the earth, that my everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world, and be forever kings and rulers. Send forth the elders of my church unto the nations which are afar off, unto the islands of the sea, send forth unto the foreign lands. Call upon all nations, firstly upon the Gentiles, and then upon the Jews. And behold, and lo, this shall be their cry, and the voice of the Lord unto all people. Go ye forth unto the land of Zion, that the borders of my people shall be enlarged, and that her stakes may be strengthened, and that Zion may go forth unto the regions round about. Yea, let the cry go forth among all people, awake and arise, and go forth to meet the bridegroom. Behold, and lo, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Prepare yourselves for the great day of the Lord. I really appreciate the ministry of music this evening because, of course, it goes right along with what I'm going to be sharing with you this evening. First, I'd like to talk to you or ask you, what is the theme of this week?
Healing the breach.
Healing the breach, okay. What is the theme of today?
Our time, help, and trouble.
Our help and trouble. Okay. Today, I'd like to talk to you about faith. If you go to section 1 in your Doctrine and Covenants, and you read what it says, at the top it says, the Covenants and Commandments. There's another little book called Lectures on Faith that is really the doctrine part of the Doctrine and Covenants. And you can go through it. It's a really short book. If you don't go through all the questions at the end, you can go through it in an hour. But it's a book that is very, very profound and very, very good in assisting people in strengthening their faith. I like to, if we think about the world, we think about the world's definition of faith. Many times when we talk to an individual, they equate faith with belief. I'd like to go to James chapter 2 and think of that when I'm reading James chapter 2 verse 18. Therefore, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead and cannot save you. What's that scripture saying? It's saying that faith is more than just belief. If your faith is just belief, it's dead. It doesn't mean anything. It's not faith. There are two components to faith. You have the belief, and you have the action. You have the works. Faith is that driving force that gives your belief action, or that makes you want to do something. If we go back in the Old Testament and we think about David, you know, here was a young boy. And when he went to visit his brothers, he heard this giant taunting the house of Israel. And he had faith that he could defeat that giant. And in fact, he was shocked that nobody else in the house of Israel, or nobody else in the Israelite army, would go up against that giant. Now, when he did that, when he went up against Goliath, did he go in his own strength? That's what Saul wanted him to do. Saul got his armor together and he put it on him. And if David would have gone out there with all that armor, never using it before, probably a little bit too big, what would have happened to him? He'd have probably been squashed like a bug. But he went out there knowing what he was doing was according to the will of God. And because of that, he was able to overcome that trial. He was able to overcome that giant that taunted the house of Israel day and night. And because of that, there was a great battle that was won that day. And the Lord was able to work in that. And if we think about Peter in the New Testament, what would have happened to him had he said, you know, Jesus, I see you walking on the water. I believe I can do that. And he never stepped out of the boat. What would have happened to Paul preaching the gospel, being thrown into prison, being stoned, suffering all of those afflictions? What would have happened had he had his vision, said, okay, Jesus, I believe in you, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to worship in my church and not do anything else? Faith requires more than just a belief. Faith requires action in every aspect of our life. I want us to think about the things that we do. You know, those of you that are in school, why do you go to school? Are you going to school so you can one day, you know, be educated and then, you know, go on to college and get a career and make lots of money? Is that the reason why you're in school? Are you in school to, you know, be an example of those around you, be educated so you can go and be a worker for the kingdom of God? Those of you that are working, why do you go to work? Do you go to work just to sustain your family? Do you go to work to elevate yourself and your position and get praise and do all these different things? Or do you go to work for the kingdom of God? For those of you that are retired, what do you do every day when you get up? Is what you are doing bringing about the kingdom of God? Because I would say to you, if what we're doing in our jobs, in our school, and in our daily lives is not working for the kingdom of God, we're just like it talks about in James chapter 2. Our works are in vain, and they're dead works, and they don't mean anything. In the lectures on faith, the fifth lecture, there are seven lectures in the lecture on faith. In the fifth lecture, it talks about the Godhead. And, you know, why is the Godhead important in faith? You know, there's all kinds of different reasons why the Godhead is important in faith. But one of the things that it talks about is it talks about there are two personages, and then there's the Spirit, which is the mind and will of God. And that Spirit, like I said, it's the mind and will of God. But it's something that each one of us can possess as well. So as we receive the Spirit, we receive the mind and will of God. I want us to think about that. What does that mean in our lives? What does that mean in healing the breach? What does that mean in overcoming our trials? If we have the mind and will of God, and this person over here has the mind and will of God, because we're both working in the Spirit, that allows us to work together. That allows us to overcome all the differences that we have. If we have the mind and will of God in us, if we have the Spirit dwelling within us, when trials come, what happens? We overcome them quickly. Or we endure them. Because we know, because of the Spirit that dwells inside us. In lecture 6, it talks about the early saints. And just like it talked about in that song, it talks about the faith that they had. And it talks about the Spirit that dwelled within them. And because of that faith that they had, they were able to endure everything. They were able to endure losing all their riches. They were able to endure the persecutions that they faced. They were able to endure even death because they knew without a shadow of a doubt what they were doing was according to the will of God. And so I want us to think about our lives. Think about our families. Think about our congregations. And think about our church. First off, what are we doing to bring about the kingdom of God as individuals? When we wake up every single day, what are we doing to further the kingdom of God? Then I want us to think about our families. What is our family doing to further the kingdom of God? How are we working together as a family to accomplish something that the kingdom of God can be brought on earth? Third, what are we doing as congregations and branches? How are we working as branches to further the kingdom of God? And last, as a church, What are we doing to further the kingdom of God? And I know for most of us, you know, we go about our days, and it's not necessarily something we think about. You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a list of tasks that we have to accomplish, and we don't think about, what am I doing to further the kingdom of God? Same with our families. You know, we get up, we get caught in all of our family activities, and we forget what it is we're really about. In our congregations, we get caught up in going to church on Sunday and doing activities. But really, what are we doing to further the kingdom of God? And even as a church, so many times, we get caught up in our activities that we forget our true purpose. There was a German soldier one time that he was injured. So he went to the hospital. He walks in the door, and there's a door that says severely wounded and a door that says not severely wounded. So his injury was minor, and so he went in the not severely wounded door. And then he walks down this hall and comes to two more doors. And one of them says officers, and one of them says enlisted men. He was an enlisted man, so he went in that door. He walks down a long hallway, gets to the end, and it says member of the party and not a member of the party. He wasn't a member of the party, so he walked through that door and found himself outside. So he goes home, and his mother asks him, he goes, so did you get taken care of? He said, no, but man, they are really organized. And, you know, so many times we're that way. You know, we may have all the organization, we may have it all together, but is what we're doing really accomplishing anything? Are we out there healing those that are sick? You know, it doesn't even have to be physical sickness. Are we out there healing those and taking the gospel to those that are spiritually sick or that don't even know the gospel? How are we furthering the kingdom of God? And I guarantee that when we answer that question, that we're going to see things we could have never imagined. When we answer that one question, how are we furthering the kingdom of God? And when we ask that question, what's God going to do? He's going to send His Spirit. He's going to send His mind and will. And you'll understand what it is that you're supposed to do. And you'll be able to go out and you'll be able to tackle things and face trials you would have never thought you could face. You're going to go out into the world and you're going to see the hand of God working in your life. And that scripture that I talked about, or that those scriptures that I read in the beginning, are going to become a reality. They're already becoming a reality. But we'll see it further enhanced. We'll see the gathering. We'll see the building up of Zion. We'll see the gospel preached in all the world. We'll see the building up of Zion. If we think about Christ, and we think about the sacrifice that He made for each one of us, you know, here is the Son of God coming down and dying for each one of us that we can retain eternal life. If you truly believe that, it better make a change in your life. We've sat around and we've had a good organization for too long. We've sat around and we've lived our lives and we haven't thought about what we're doing to build up the kingdom for too long. And because of that, we haven't seen much fruit. And so my question for each one of you this evening is, if you want to see the kingdom of God on earth become a reality, something has to change. If we're sick and tired of having the world throw trials and everything else in our lives, something has to change. And it starts with us. What are we going to do? How are we going to be the kingdom of God? How are we going to be like David? He could have done just like everybody else had done and expected somebody else to go out and face that giant. The rest of that army was scared. And they said, you know, it's not my responsibility to go fight a giant. Just cheer the army. Somebody else's responsibility. Maybe it's Saul's responsibility to go fight the giant. I don't care if you're 8 years old or 98 years old or 108 years old. It's each one of our responsibility to make sure that this kingdom becomes a reality. And as long as we just keep living our lives, we will not see change. So I would beg each of you this evening, think about your personal life. Start there. What am I doing to bring about the kingdom of God? Then, in your families, ask that same question. What are we doing to bring about the kingdom of God? Then go to your congregations. And as a congregation, do the same thing. How are we building the kingdom of God? And then as a church, when we all come together, we can answer that question and we can say, this is what we're doing to build the kingdom of God. And you have this congregation or this branch over here doing this and this branch over here doing this. And these families are doing these things. And we're going to see things like you could never imagine. And we're going to see the reality of the Zion that we all hope and read about and talk about.
truly are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Our fathers who went before us, they did their job. Now it's time for us to do our part. I hope Brother Nathan's message has stirred your souls to a greater resolve to do what we can. I believe that God's going to bless us. I believe that we have the capacity to rise up and be strong and do a great work. I believe that we have it in us. I believe God's calling us. I think it's only appropriate to sing number 271, "The Voice of God is Calling." And then we'll have our benediction by Brother Roman.
271.
Continue to be good witnesses. We can shine the light on others. And we bless those members who wanted to be here and couldn't be here. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.